Which would you rather have in your home? John Wayne Gacy's artwork or a live, laugh, love sign?
Pick a side, stupid. Welcome to Pick a Side, Stupid, a comedy debate show that covers the important issues. Now, here's your host, Sean Carter.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. So tonight, we will be talking about true crime and serial killers and stuff like that. So, trigger warning, I guess. If you're already here, you probably have an idea what you're in for. If you're listening to the podcast, let me just jump ahead to the future and just imagine what happened during the show. And, yeah, get ready for some fucked up shit to be said. It's going to get ugly. All right. So anyways, our featured guest this week, our special comedian who won last week, he is our current champion and picked the subject of true crime. He will be opening the show tonight. Everybody, give it up for Ted Pettengell.
Ah, boy. I picked a subject that I know a lot about, but then, like, realized I didn't have, like, any material on, so I, like, really had to scramble to write, like, fucking serial killer jokes the last 3 days and have just been doing them at open mics. And if this is your first week going to open mics, you're just like, who is that guy that only talks about head fucking? People seem to think he's pretty good, but he is a creep. True crime, let's get into it. Ted Bundy is like America's like most notorious serial killer, or one of the most notorious serial killers. And he got away with it for a long time because he was like able to like lure victims in by being like this, just being like a handsome, charismatic dude, like in hiding the monster that was underneath. And it's really sad that you can't trust a handsome, charismatic dude named Ted. Who can you trust? I also found this out. Right at the beginning of Ted Bundy's killing spree, he actually wrote a rape prevention pamphlet that was distributed in the Seattle area. Yeah, that's crazy. Like, and that just goes to show you, don't ever trust anyone that's mansplaining women's issues. I can only imagine what was in that pamphlet. Like, don't talk to strangers at night unless they look like me. But we do. We love true crime. We love serial killers. It's very popular now. There's, like, all these, like, podcasts and, like, true crime TV shows like Serial and Making a Murderer and Mindhunters, all these things. And we like celebrate and we're fascinated by murder and we can talk about it. But we don't like do that with other crimes. We don't like put other crimes up on a pedestal. It's not like cool to talk about in polite conversation. Like you can't go to a party, meet a person for the first time and just start telling them about how you're reading a book about the guy who's the best at fucking kids. They'd be like, oh, why are you talking to me, you weirdo? And then they walk away. But you could go to that same party and be talking to that same person. Just be like, I'm reading a book about the guy who was the best at fucking kids to death. And they'd be like, oh, my God, I love John Wayne Gacy. The killer clown, Pogo. Ah! John Wayne Gacy, when he went to jail, he just painted pictures of himself, like, as a clown, but, like, in weird situations. Like, there's a famous one of him playing every position for the Chicago Cubs. When I was a kid, I was, like, real awkward, and, I had trouble making eye contact with people. I still kind of have trouble making eye contact with people as an adult. But anyway, I was like an awkward, shy kid, and one time, like a gym teacher was trying to talk to me, And I wasn't looking at him. He goes, ah, what are you, some kind of little Jeffrey Dahmer? Yeah, he used Jeffrey Dahmer as a punchline in Zinging a Child. Oh, look at this kid. He's a real weirdo. Probably going to grow up to keep a big pot of dicks in his fridge. Nobody pick him for kickball.
Hey, it's Ted Pettingill, ladies and gentlemen.
Am I staying up here? Yeah, well, you're going to be here in a minute, so you can hang or you can sit or whatever you want to do. Okay, cool. So I will explain the rules to the debate now in case you are unfamiliar. Here's how it works. Two comedians will come to the stage, and I will ask a question. The comedian that goes first gets to decide which side of the debate they are arguing. If you go second, you have to argue the other side no matter what. Meaning some of you are going to say some things that probably you're not going to mean. Probably. At the end of the debate, I will pick a winner and a loser. Okay? I'm the only judge. And when you agree with my decision, I would like for you to cheer. Give that a shot right now. Okay. And you know what? To be fair, I'm human. I make mistakes. So when you disagree with my decision, I would like for you to boo me. Give that a shot right now. Okay. So, with no further ado, our first two comedians tonight arguing will be Ted Pettingill and Erica Lindquist. Ted, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go first.
Okay. Your question is from Ted Pettingill. Ted.
Yes.
Ted asks, better disguise, John Wayne Gacy, who was a clown, or Ted Bundy, who is just handsome?
Man, I just did this joke. Literally everything I just talked about. So I'm gonna go throw your curveball and say it was John Wayne Gacy who was the clown. He dressed up as a scary clown and like terrified the neighborhood children. Great disguise, cause like that's the guy you would think, like you would be like, oh yeah, that guy's probably a monster, but like nobody would be that obvious about it. Fucking fat Polish guy living alone in Chicago, dressing like a clown. Like, no one, like that would just be like if he was walking around with like a knife attached to his dick. Like, so yeah, and like a handsome guy, like, yeah, you can be disarming and handsome at the same time, but also nobody ever really trusts a handsome man. They're always working an angle.
Okay, Erica, you have 1 minute.
All right. Well, obviously, just being a handsome man get you pretty far in life. Because really, like, his handsomeness was one half of the disguise. The other half was just, like, pretending to care sometimes. Ted Bundy worked on the suicide hotline, and everyone's like, he's so nice. And he's like, I don't know where these women are going. But I sure am handsome. And everyone's like, you are. And then sometimes he would pretend to just be sad. And he'd be like, oh, ma'am, I have a broken arm. And I'm a man, and I have all the privileges in the world. But can you help me to my car? And she'd be like, oh, my God. Sensitive and handsome? I'll get in your car and then get in your trunk. Best disguise.
Yeah, but he also had to, like, have his arm in a sling or, like, his fucking crutches. John Wayne Gacy, he was just would be a clown and then be like, hey, kids, come over to my house. I got some carpentry work for you or something. We'll smoke some weed. Also, like, Ted Bundy, like, a bunch of people who knew him, like, reported to them to the cops, but they're just like, eh. John Wayne
Time.
Gacy.
Well, handsome man and sad man are better than the clown because he drew his makeup wrong. A clown is supposed to have soft circles, and he was just like, jagged edges like a knife. Just like, kids, come to my house.
All right, I got a hand in the wind to Erica Lindquist. Next up, could we please have Tatende Mbidzi? All right. Erica, since you won last round, you can choose whether you go first or second.
I'm going to go second.
Okay. Here's your question. It's from Joe Reynolds. It says, which would you rather have in your home? John Wayne Gacy's artwork or a live, laugh, love sign?
All right, I got to be very honest. I would go for the John Wayne Gacy. Okay, I don't know. I just the moment you look at a live, laugh, love thing on like your phone, you immediately want to kill the person who posted it. So I feel like having the John Wayne Gacy picture in my house would stop me from like murdering the live, laugh, love people. I don't know. I feel like that was actual expression. And in a way, like the souls of children contributed to that image. So in a way, I've got like if I touch it, I'll just stay young forever. So I think from a mystical perspective, like imagine like the meditation circles I could have with a John Wayne Gacy image like over my my mantelpiece. I think I'm going to go with the John Wayne.
I'm going to go with Live, Laugh, Love, obviously. Because while John Wayne Gacy made all those portraits, I think he had that in his home. He was putting it up and he was like, yes, live, laugh, and love. Children, come into my home. I only like joyful, cheap knickknacks. And I have plenty more. It's just a great, very cruel thing to put on your wall when there's just such a lack of it in the world.
All right, with the John Wayne Gacy image, I think it's like if I was gonna bring someone home and murder them, I feel like showing them that image would be a lot more and being like, hey, you know who did this? Let me tell you all about their life story. And then I feel like that would be a more interesting way to be like, let them know I was going to murder them. like a slow burn. Also, like clowns, a painting by a guy who wore a clown.
Time.
Yes, those paintings are very attractive. But what better to have someone come to your house and say, oh, look at my live, laugh, love sign. I bought that on Etsy. Also, do you have a few seconds to look at my pictures from my trip to Puerto Rico? 5 summers ago. I haven't gone anywhere since, and it's the only pictures I show everyone. Where are you going?
All right. I got to hand the win to Tatende Mbidzi. Budzi? Woo! Next up, could we please have Jenna Berkowitz? Okay. Your question is, would you rather have your body found in a shallow grave or shallow water?
I think I would go for shallow water because then the cum stains on my underwear would have dissolved. And also, like, if I shat myself, it would have, like, dissolved in the water as well. And like in being in water, you bloat a lot, so I'd look a little bit more muscular than I am. I'm pretty skinny. And if you're in a shallow grave, you get like worms. But I already have worms. I have ringworm. And that's a joke or not? Well, who knows? And I think I'm a Cancer. That's my star sign. So. Yeah, I want to be in touch with my horoscope when I die.
I would have picked shallow grave even if I was first, because it means that the person who killed me probably cared enough to dig something for me. And that would just feel like, just, it would feel good. And the shallow water, you need those cum stains in your underwear so they can identify your killer. Like, do you want them to go away free? I think that's really my only 2 points right there.
Well, no, I would stick with shallow water because I would have killed myself, so the cum would just be mine. And the thing with water is at least I'll be like, it'll be like the, you know, at least would have died having taken at least one bath in the past year. And also I could be a mermaid, reincarnated, or not.
I think I could still be a mermaid even if I was in a shallow grave, so not ruling that out. But yeah, I think a shallow water suicide, really sad. The worms, though, like, I just want my killer to care about me and be caught. And I think that that's really, I'm sticking to the same logic for that shallow grave.
All right. I think I have to hand the win to Jenna Berkowitz. It's a close call there.
Hey, it's your host, Sean Carter here, just reminding you that we do these shows live the first and third Friday of every month at 7 p.m. at Maggie's Lounge in Quincy. And we'd love it if you'd come down and join us sometime. Now, next up in this debate, in this podcast, we have a debate between AJ Glaglov and Daniel McRoby.
Daniel, would you like to go first or second?
Second, please.
AJ, your question is, do you feel comfortable in your own skin, or do you feel comfortable in someone else's skin?
I feel more comfortable in someone else's skin. And when you're in someone else's skin, you can really let loose, be whoever you want. As long as you're not hanging out with people that knew that person, because then things get a little dicey. Yeah, I think when you're in somebody else's skin, given that it's the right fit, you've had it tailored, you want something high-end but not too high-end that people are thinking you're trying too hard, I'm going to go with somebody else's skin.
If you think corduroy is itchy, try someone else's skin. That's... You know, it's imagine like a flannel, but it's moist. That's all right. We'll leave it there.
As somebody who wears all of their flannel pre-moistened, I'd be fine with that. I think the inside of a skin probably feels nicer than the outside of someone that doesn't use lotion.
You're wrong. Oh, man, I've never touched the inside of skin, and I get what you're saying. People are awful. I don't want to feel their emotional distance any more than any of you. Comics. But, yeah, still, no, don't wear people's skin. It's a common rule, one we've established, not because it's murder, but because it's very uncomfortable.
All right, I got to hand the win to Daniel McRoby. Next up, could we please have Tyler Morrow?
Second.
This question, Tyler, your question is from Nate Chu. He asks, what's worse, eating or having sex with the corpses of your victims?
What's worse?
Yeah.
All right.
Which one's worse?
All right. That question's weird, a weird way. I think it's better to eat them. That's what I'm saying. It's not that it's just worse to fuck them. It's better to eat. They're delicious. There's a lot, like, you should research. There's a lot of delicious parts of the human body. Like Albert Fish, right? He used to, he would eat the butt, because there's fat in your butt. 100% true. So, if I had like a corpse, I don't know why where I got it, but if I got one, and I was allowed time with it, I would eat it. I would definitely eat it.
I'm fairly certain eating ass isn't paleo.
That's maybe it is. Who do I fucking know? Yeah, corpse fucking. That sounds great. Bottom line, I'm not sticking anything in my mouth. I don't want to. That's really. I'm ready to lose. Thank you.
Just from looking at my body type, I don't know about diets. But I'm pretty sure the entire human body is paleo. I think you can eat all of it. People ate people probably back then, right? I feel like someone ate another guy. Someone ate another girl. You know, eat the butt. All right, guys.
I don't know how to argue for this not too convincingly. Does that make sense? The only way to do it is to be like really into it, and I'm not about that. So thank you.
All right, I gotta hand the win to Tyler Morrow.
This next debate will be between Sean Rosa and Kevin Harrington.
Kevin, do you want to go first or second?
I will go second.
Okay. Your question is from Kevin M. Quigley. It says, "What's the better way to cool off in the summer? Kool-Aid with Jim Jones?" Or hanging out by the pool with Casey Anthony?
I'm going to pick Kool-Aid with Jim Jones. Because you know what? I've always wanted to go to South America with like 1,200 of my closest buds. And you know what? Here's the thing. I don't even like Kool-Aid. I like Flavor-Aid. That's what they took. It was Flavor-Aid. And you get it right, Sean. And you get it right, Kevin M. Quigley. And also, Mr. Jones, he's got a lot of great ideas about the United States government, communism, religion, maybe aliens. And you know what? I'm taking it to the afterlife.
Time.
Man, you sell all your worldly possessions to join a death cult, and they fucking skimp on Kool-Aid? What a bunch of cheap fucking bastards. Fuck him and fuck his spaceship to Christ. That is nonsense. If I'm going out, I want it to be like, I want to be like a fucking pharaoh and have the full experience. That is such a cheap thing. That is exploitive. You talk about communism, and yeah, in each in accordance to its means, and you don't even give them the luxury of a good death. You chintz out and give them a shitty, cheap flavor. Oh, God, Kool-Aid. I'm sorry. Like, I feel like the Kool-Aid man should break through this basement in outrage that 1,200 people died over a second-rate fucking flavoring. That'd be like all of us dying over Mr. Pibb instead of Dr. Pepper. And I realize I'm saying that as a person that grew up in the Midwest, and that's a heresy where I came from, but I came to
Time.
Boston.
Well, what you don't understand is the Kool-Aid man is a tool of the bourgeois class. And we can't support that. Everybody gets a fair and even death. We have to seize the means of Kool-Aid production.
You can't seize the means of Kool-Aid production with dead hands. And you just gave a gift to the bourgeois by killing 1,200 of yourselves. Way to stand up to the man. That's all I gotta say. If you're gonna die, do it on your terms and go all the fuck out.
All right, nobody wants to be by the pool. That's cool. All right, I gotta hand the win to Kevin Harrington. And let me hear it. I know. Next up, could we please have Malin Pavletic? Kevin, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go first.
Kevin, your question is from Zach Jones.
Zach Jones!
He said, what's worse, being incarcerated or having a bunch of dweeby NPR types obsessed with you?
Oh, God. I'm going to take dweeby NPR types obsessed with me. Because I'm tired of this cult of personality around Ira Glass. Yeah, he was great, but I think it's a little creepy the way that we fetishize these people that just talk into a microphone and we don't know anything about them. That's not right. We can't lionize people that we've met once or we know nothing about, but we're solely hearing their voice maybe in a dimly lit room or in our car on the way to work. They're not gods. If I was incarcerated, yes, it's a nightmare, but guess who I'm locked in there with? Me. Me, the greatest entity known to myself is me and all the works that I've ever read and can conceive. If I had all those creepy NPR types, I don't know who's going to try to take my hair in the middle of the night, make a sleeve, make a sweater out of me, have maybe my face on their shirt, maybe kill me, strangle me in an act of lovemaking like the serial killers we've already referenced. They're more terrifying than actual serial killers because they could be serial killers that are just listening.
Time.
The fact that you think that with prison overcrowding you'd have your own cell is dreaming, man. Jesus Christ, you'd have at least three other dudes in there with you. I'm not much of a roommate person. I don't know about you guys. I shed a lot. I have really long hair. It's disgusting. I'd donate it to Locks of Love if I wasn't so fucking selfish, okay? And I don't know, man. NPR, most people are going to forget about it. Radio's going to be dead in 5 years anyway. Fuck it, right? And then, if I do have a bunch of creepy NPR people obsessing over me, you know what that means? Love letters! Yeah! Makes up for all the Valentines I never got in middle school. Even though they said you have to use one for everyone, not for Maisie Cakes. That's what my mom calls me. Now you guys all know that.
I listen to NPR, and the only thing I hate more than the people that listen to NPR, because they tell you that they listen to NPR, are vegans and vegetarians that have to tell you that they're vegan. There's nothing more incessantly annoying than an NPR listener that just won't be like, did you hear this on All Things Considered? At least in prison, I'd have some quiet. I might be horribly attacked and whatnot, but at least it would deliver me away from the NPR listeners that are rabid. And I finally get to know the peace that I deserve.
Time!
First of all, if you think with prison overcrowding anyone's going to think about you enough to attack you, good luck, pal. Anyway, you do have nice hair. It's a good point. Not as greasy as mine, though. I can use it to make soap. And I... Look it up. Don't look it up. Anyway, I'm much more of an NPR person. You know why? Because this is Terry Gross. It's 8:15 p.m. And do you know what just happened? Malin just won this debate. Thank you.
All right, I got to hand the win to Malin Pavletic.
It's like I'm reading The Secret. Like I said, I dropped it in half. I'm sorry. I'm ruining it.
All right. All right, come on up here. Come up here. Chloe Kuna.
Yeah.
Chloe Kuna, everybody. Malin, do you want to go first or second? Okay, your question is from Craig Bitterman. He asks, would you have stopped Mark David Chapman from assassinating John Lennon or helped him pull the trigger?
I would have definitely helped him pull the trigger. Definitely. No question, for so many reasons. First of all, apparently John Lennon was an abuser, which sucks, so fuck him, he should die, whatever, matriarchy, let's do this. Secondly, Yoko Ono was being held back, in my opinion. Let her fly free, you know what I'm saying? Let her fly free. That's. I think those are both pretty strong points. I'm going to end with that.
You want a real matriarchy? You withhold some dude killing John Lennon and let some lady kill him for you. Fucking revolution! I would totally kill John Lennon. Fuck that guy. There's not a lot of laughs here right now because it's mostly white men. You guys would all jack off to his goddamn solo albums. Jealous Guy is about an abusive guy. Just because there's whistling in it and it's cute and they use it in Royal Tenenbaums or whatever the fuck doesn't mean that it's a fucking good song. Anyway, I would withhold him so I can do it. What about me? Now it's my time. Malin's getting her groove back and it's called traveling back in time to shoot someone out of a goddamn multi-million dollar apartment building where fucking, what's his name? Idiot, goddamn cocaine. What's his name? Help me out. Eric Clapton's son died. Yeah.
I'm just so glad that we're both gonna die either way. I'm ecstatic about that. I don't have much else to add. I do think that there's something great about you kind of convinced me a little bit, to be honest. You kind of, because I'm like, if he still dies, then that's great. That's terrific. With my scenario, the only difference is there's a little teamwork. But you know what? Why do I need the man?
Time!
Look, you don't need the man. I'm not playing to my audience right now, and I'm well aware of that. Thank you. I'd also like to thank Sean Carter. Okay, number one, like, this bar is crazy cool. I didn't even know how to turn on the faucet in the bathroom. It's crazy. But also, you did choose the basement area, and it is pretty apropos for what we're talking about. Yeah. Am I hanging out in John Wayne Gacy's basement with, like, a cool wet bar over there? We don't know. Let me kill John Lennon!
Time! All right, I gotta hand the win to Malin Pavletic. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chloe. Next up, could we please have Jeremiah Broderick? Malin, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second.
Okay. Jeremiah, your question is from Zach Jones. He asks, would you rather go to a Jeffrey Dahmer restaurant or an Ed Gein furniture store?
Ooh. I'd rather go to an Ed Gein furniture store because I'm a picky eater. And if there's not something on the menu I know I'm going to like, I don't want to go there. I don't know if I like bicep or not. I don't know that. I do know leather is wonderful and very soft. Thank you. I rest my case.
It's soft if it's made in Italy, please. No, I would definitely fucking deal with Jeffrey Dahmer's restaurant. You know why? Sorry. Just talking about Jeffrey Dahmer, a little passé. What are we, at an open mic with a guy just talking about rape jokes all the time? Come on, man. Jesus Christ. Let's dive deeper into some other serial killers, but that's besides the point. Jeffrey Dahmer didn't only eat people. For all you know, he made like a good eggplant parmesan. Okay? But he was so good at it that like he just got sick of that, you know? Come on. Think about it. Also, there's not only going to be leather there. There's going to be like a lot of skulls at the fucking Ed Gein furniture store. And that does not include his nipple belt. Okay? That is technically a clothing accessory. Keep that in mind, people.
Sure, leather's softer if it's made in Italy. Yeah. Just go to the Italian section. They got chairs. Sure, they're a little hairier. But suede's nice, too.
You know I'm Croatian Portuguese and I can fucking out hair any Italian out of the day. Okay? Talk about made in Italy. We're talking about that nice mineral water that you wash the leather over. Still all about Jeffrey Dahmer, you guys. You know why? He's got that classic serial killer glasses game going on. For all you know, that helps him chop up all of those beautiful little leeks. All of those eggplant parmesans. And I'm not Italian, obviously. And because my skin's pretty gross. And yeah.
Time. All right. Oh, boy. You're both so great. I got to hand the win to Jeremiah Broderick. I know.
Hey, it's your host, Sean Carter. The next debate will be between Ben Quick and AJ O'Connell.
Okay, Ben, do you want to go first or second?
I will go second, actually.
Your question is from Chloe Kuna. She asks, was it enough to cut off his penis, or should Lorena Bobbitt have also killed her shitty abusive husband?
They sewed it back on, right? So no. History has showed it was not enough. He just got it back. You want to get something done, do something permanent. Can't sew back on ahead. Kill him.
I would rather be killed than even have the experience of having my dick cut off, and I don't care how you attach it again. First of all, that right there, no, if you're going to do that, just kill me. I don't want to have to remember that moment. You can reattach my dick. You cannot erase that memory. You understand? I'm always going to have to live with that pain, and furthermore, I'm not going to trust that. If it's been surgically reattached, do you think I'm going to go touch that, beating it off again? I'm going to be frightened every time I pee. That's its own level of PTSD, and that's a pun I made by accident. You're welcome.
I mean, he went on to star in a porn, so it works just fine, I guess, with no, falling off or whatever. Although that'd be, talk about weird stuff to jerk off to. Someone's into that is all I'm saying. And he could have been the guy to give it to him. And then he would have been famous. Oh, he is famous. Yeah, now we made him famous. Or was he already famous? Fuck him. Kill him. Like, all the way. No half measures.
Time. I think he's more infamous than famous. If you're famous for being the guy that got his dick cut off, that's not something I want to be. I don't want to walk around like, oh, I know him. How do I know? Oh, he got his dick cut off. That's not a strong thing to see. And also, people who are watching that porn, he didn't get scheduled because it was sexy. He's getting cast in that moment because everybody who's watching that's just going, wait, this guy got his dick cut off? All right, let me just see this. I got to see what this looks like. That's curiosity, not cum, that are driving those view counts.
Time. All right, I got to hand the win to Ben quick. Next up, and our last scheduled debater.
Ooh.
Everybody, please welcome Zach Jones.
Zach Jones!
Ben, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go first this time.
Okay.
Well, I can't look
take
at it
that question.
I keep doing it wrong. This is from Zach Jones. Also.
Your question,
I saw that much.
Ben, is from Zach Jones.
Zach Jones!
He asks, better last meal request by a murderer, bucket of KFC or bag of assorted Jolly Ranchers?
I'm going to say bag of assorted Jolly Ranchers. Because while a bucket of KFC might seem like a big meal, that many Jolly Ranchers is going to last you weeks. You can unwrap it one at a time and suck on each of them. You might be able to live out your life sentence. You know, I don't know how you can possibly, like, if it's one of those games, you could do the math real quick. There's like 500 Jolly Ranchers times 2 hours to 10 hours for each Jolly Rancher, depending on how much you drink. Because if you don't drink enough, you're also going to have getting cotton mouth, which is going to slow down the process even more. My point is, stall tactics. All the KFC is going to do is by the time you finish that bowl, you're also going to have to take a massive shit. And that's really not what you want to do right before you go out. It's like, oh, not only did I have to eat all this grease, I've got diarrhea and now I'm going to die. I eat all those Jolly Ranchers. I won't even have diabetes by the time they kill me. Or I'll just live really long time because I haven't finished them. My point is made. Here you go, Zach.
I'm a strong believer that the state should not have the power to execute. And I am going to protest that power with the shit that I leave in the electric chair when they eventually fry me. Also, I feel like it might hurt whatever style of execution they use. One of the parts of the injection is literally just to paralyze you, so in case you are hurt, they can't tell. So there's a lot of pain that could be involved there. And I feel like if I just eat a whole bucket of chicken, that's all I'm going to be thinking. I'm going to be in a food coma strong enough that I'm not even going to have any idea of how much pain it might be getting inflicted upon me.
If you eat a bucket of fried chicken right before you're fried in an electric chair, the last thing you're going to hear is some guard making that exact hack joke, and you're going to die angry. At least if I'm eating a bunch of Jolly Ranchers, someone might up and be like, ah, not so jolly today now, are you not? You're going to die. And then I can counter that hack joke with, actually, I'm thrilled because I don't have to hear that ever again. And I'll have a better one-liner, and I'll end on a zing as I'm zapped. That's an alliteration. I'm killing it with the wordplay up here. For that alone,
time.
I should be considered.
Think it's also worth noting that Jolly Ranchers are like a third-tier candy. Only a serial killer would have Jolly Ranchers as their favorite candy to begin with. Like, and also, like, Like, you might actually, like, die of diabetes if that's your final meal before they can even kill you, which is... It takes a little longer and is not as much fun as just getting a good zap and going out full of chicken.
Time. All right. I got to hand the win to Ben Quick.
Hey. So give it up for your champion, Ben Quick.
That was Pick a Side, Stupid. If you liked what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe to the show.
Hey, that's our show for this week. Thanks to Ted Pettingill for being our special guest. Tune in next Monday to hear Ben Quick start the show off with a little bit of stand-up. And special thanks to Jay Baggett for the artwork. She really killed it this week with the true crime pick. And thanks for listening. Come down to Maggie's Lounge the first to third Friday of any month at 7 p.m. and you can check out the live show. We'd love to see you there.